Today marks the kickoff of the New Year's stewardship renewal. So it's the first day where we begin our process of handing out our stewardship packets and the process of recommitting to practicing of time, talent, and treasure, sharing that throughout the upcoming year. So the first Sunday of the stewardship renewal, kind of looking back to a little bit of our history and the roots of stewardship, the understanding, the mindset, the practice of stewardship in our diocese, kind of the model that we have in our diocese, the way it's kind of laid out, our understanding of the way we currently practice stewardship, really the founder of that, the kind of the initiator of that was, Monsignor Magritte, who was at St. Francis of Assisi. I almost forgot. That's terrible. Well, Monsignor Magritte, he, late 70s, early 80s, he began the process of rolling out this understanding and practice of stewardship. And so, you know, I honestly didn't know, growing up in the Diocese of Wichita, I didn't know that there's anything particularly unique or rare or special about us in Wichita until I went into seminary. And when I went to seminary, I went up to St. Paul, Minnesota, my first couple of years up there. And then from there, I went to St. Louis. And I was, you know, there were seminarians literally from all over the United States. And when I go up and introduce myself and say, you know, I'm Curtis Hecker, I'm from Wichita, yada, yada. And they'd stop and go, "You're from Wichita? Oh my gosh, that's amazing. You guys are the stewardship diocese. You have it going on there. You have all these seminarians and you have all this education and blah, 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 blah." And I'm like, "Yeah, cool." I seriously, it was news to me. I legitimately did not understand what they were talking about, because I assumed that that's the way it was everywhere. And I can tell you right now, and those of you who are not from the Diocese of Wichita, you understand, it's not this way everywhere. We are the only diocese in the United States that practices stewardship and operates the way we do. Where any parishioner, any student from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade can receive a Catholic education at no tuition. That is not common throughout the rest of the United States. There's been two or three other dioceses that have attempted to kind of, based off of our model, they've attempted to replicate that, and they basically went broke. They went bankrupt and they had to like kind of pull back from that. Because it just didn't work in their diocese. But it has been working here in our diocese for decades now. But with that, it's not just a simple time, talent, and treasure. I think that is part of it. And, you know, I guess if you get down to the brass tacks, there is that aspect of time, talent, and treasure. And so with Monsignor Magritte, when he kind of was rolling this idea of stewardship out to St. Francis of Assisi back in the early 80s, he would always, at the beginning of the stewardship renewal, in October, he would spend 3 weeks preaching about time, talent, and treasure. And so, kind of using him as my background and my basis, that's what I'm proposing to do. So this week I'm going to preach about time, next week I'll preach about talent, and the next week I'll preach about treasure. So, but with that, in our understanding of stewardship, that time, talent, and treasure, all three of those categories, and really everything that we have, is a gift. Stewardship, the way we understand it, is a grateful response of a Christian disciple who recognizes and receives God's gifts, then shares those gifts in love of God and neighbor. That's our definition of stewardship here in our diocese. And I'll kind of break that out a little bit more throughout the next couple of weeks, but this idea of stewardship, like a steward. What is a steward of something? Well, back in the day, like if a king, like King Richard the Lionheart of England, when he went to go fight the Crusades in Jerusalem, he left a steward in charge of the kingdom of England. The steward was not the king. The steward did not own the land. The steward was not the king, and he didn't own the castle and all, but he took care of it in the king's stead while the king was gone. That is a steward. One who doesn't own it, but one who is in charge of the operations that they've been placed in charge of. When we come to see that, really, at the end of the day, you and I own nothing. There is not a single thing that we own. Everything has been given to us by the Lord. Even the air and the breath in our nostrils belongs to the Lord, and we are simply borrowing it for the time being. Our bodies, our intellect, our children. Your children are not your possessions. You are in charge of them, but they do not belong to you, so to speak. They are the Lord's. And so when we kind of challenge the way that we view our time, talent, and treasure as something that doesn't necessarily belong to us, that it's been entrusted to us, and I am in charge of using it to the best of my ability on behalf of the King who owns it. That's really our understanding of stewardship. Now, when it comes to time in particular, I mean, time is such a loose kind of concept to grasp, maybe some, but I don't know, something that I came across that really kind of has challenged the way I look at time. And before I even get there, I want to put a caveat out there. I've never actually seen this movie, okay? So let me say that. So it could be a terrible movie, it could be absolutely garbage. I don't know, I've never seen it, but I saw the trailer, okay? And in this trailer, there's a concept that really I find fascinating. The movie is called On Time, okay? And it's starring Justin Timberlake, so take that for whatever it's worth. But On Time, right? But the concept behind this movie and what they show in the trailer is that in this world of the movie, instead of using cash as currency, they use time. And so every single person has like a little digital counter on their wrist, right? And so it says, you know, 8 years and 12 days and 16 minutes. And so you have that time on your wrist, and instead of spending cash, you use the time on your time wrist. And so in the trailer for this movie, the guy's like buying a hamburger, and he says, oh, that's 30 minutes and 15 seconds. And so he, you know, gives his 30 minutes of time to pay for his hamburger. That's the kind of concept that I'm thinking of. Just like, time is such a unique gift that it really is at the end. I think it is our single most valuable thing that we've been given is our time. And the thing is, like, your time is 24 hours in a day, and it is the exact same amount of time that Bill Gates or Bezos, whoever. It's exact. You have 24 hours, and so do they. That's my point. Okay, it's like, you got 24 hours in a day, the same as any billionaire, the same as any head of any state, the same as the Pope, the same as a homeless guy living under a bridge. We all have that same 24 hours. It's what you do with it that makes you a saint or makes you stuck and mediocre. I was doing a little bit of research for this homily and kind of looking at trends of time and so on and so on, and just so looking at the average 18-year-old in the United States, here in America, the average 18-year-old, you take away 8 hours for sleeping, you take away 8 hours for working, you take away an hour for commuting, you take away an hour for showering and hygiene, and you take away an hour for preparing food and eating food or whatever, you take all that stuff away, the time that you have left after all of that, that's free time, okay? In that free time, in the United States, the average 18-year-old spends 93% of that free time staring at a screen. 93%. That is shocking. Especially considering it is our most valuable commodity, and we're just flushing it down the drain. You look at, and after I was doing that, after I was reading some of this, it was a scary thing to do. I challenge you, look at your phone. Go look at your screen time. I looked at my screen time for the last 2 weeks, and I was shocked. Honestly, I don't know what I was expecting, but like, it was way higher than I thought. It was a gut check. Because I'm a busy person. I got a lot of stuff going on. I'm like, the grass doesn't grow under my feet, I'll say that, right? And yet, I looked at this and like, how many hours have been sucked out of my life from a screen? And the way time works, you can't get it back, guys. There are no time machines to go back and have a do-over. Mom and Dad, listen to this. This really, really should shock you awake. By the time your child reaches the age of 12, you have already spent 80% of the time that you will have with them in their lifetime. At 12 years old, 80% of your time with them is gone. And you can't go back and have a do-over. And I know there's a lot of parents who want to like, well, we're going to work really hard right now in their young ages, and we'll that way have enough money so when they get older, then I can spend some more time with them when they'll remember it. And No. This is the valuable time. Those young ages, those early years, you can't get that back. If I was to ask the average person, what's preventing you from growing in your relationship with God? How many of us would use the excuse of time? Most of us, I bet. I'm busy. Father, I'm busy. I got a lot going on. I'm so many things happening. But here's the deal. If you were to be diagnosed with cancer tomorrow, I guarantee you, your schedule would open up real fast. You would make time for those doctor's visits. You would make time to travel to Kansas City or Oklahoma or Texas or wherever it is where you need to go, because that would be set up in top and push everything else down, because it would be a priority. What I am telling you right now is your problem is not that you don't have time. Your problem is that your priorities are not aligned with your values. That right there is the point that I'm challenging in you today. Are you currently living? Does your calendar, the pie chart of your 24 hours, does that currently reflect what you claim to value? If it's not aligned, that is where I would like to challenge you today to see what needs to change. One of the things we're going to be asking of you in stewardship renewal is of your time to volunteer, to give back here in St. Peter. And I've heard it said, I remember early on in seminary, they told us, just you wait till you get to a parish, you'll see. 80% of the work gets done by 10% of the people. Now, I don't know if that's a universal truth or what, but like, it does seem to, like, in general, the average parish, you have those who are, man, if there's a need, if there's something, people are looking for ways, what can I do, how can I help, I will find ways to get involved and jump in. And then there's a group of us who are just like, well, I hope somebody gets in there and takes care of that. That'd be really nice. You know, how many times have I asked for volunteers for holy hours for our adoration chapel? And everyone, you know, you stare and it's like, I hope somebody else puts their hand up and takes care of that, right? Just evaluating, how are we spending time? I think that's something we need to be challenged. I need to be challenged in that. And so as you go on out the doors of the church today and you go your separate ways and live your life, if you leave here and you think, oh, that was a nice message. Good for Father. That made me think. That's awesome. And nothing changes in your life, then I will have failed you as a preacher. I'm not just trying to challenge you to think about some stuff. If you come to Mass next Sunday and nothing looks different in your life, then I have failed. My challenge for you is to reevaluate how you're dividing up your time. What are you calling priorities, whether you realize it or not? Is God that centerpiece that pushes everything else out and not the other way around, where it's like, oh, I'm going to fill up my tank, and if I happen to have a little bit of extra leftovers, then I'll throw God a bone, throw him a scrap here or there? We really have to reevaluate our priorities of time.